Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, Tommy, if you're an off-roader, we are living in exciting times because for the first time, as long as I can remember, we're going to have a direct competitor to the Jeep Wrangler. And that's because what?
That's right. The Ford Bronco is making a return. So it's been gone for 24 years now. But coming very shortly, there's going to be a brand new one. And this is huge news for car enthusiasts, huge news for truck enthusiasts, and just for kind of America in general, because the Bronco is one of the staples of the U.S. automotive industry.
Yeah, the word is that on July 9th, Ford is going to unveil the new Bronco. And then the latest leak is that the order banks, when you can order it, will open up sometime, hopefully at the end of this year, and it'll be available actually for deliveries in April of 2021. Now, that seems like a long time away for me.
Yeah, this has been like the longest rollout, I think, of any car I can remember in a long time, because Ford teased the Bronco several years ago. Do you remember?
I was there.
Yeah, so was I at the Detroit Auto Show. And then it's just been year after year after year of trickling information coming from various sources, and Ford keeps delaying it and delaying it. So I'm finally hoping that we'll see it in July this year.
Yeah, and in this video, we're going to talk about the things that we believe that the new Bronco has to bring to the table to be able to compete against the Jeep Wrangler. Sit back and relax, or keep driving if you're driving. TFL Talking Cars is on the air, the world's most popular car podcast. Okay, maybe not yet, but we're working on it. Let's talk about the Bronco Sport, because there is news on that as well, and that is that will be coming out much earlier. So orders are going to be hopefully starting in next month in July, and then it'll be available at the dealership by November. But this is a different vehicle, right?
Yeah, the Bronco Sport's going to be that small crossover SUV to compete with Renegade, for example, right? And it's believed that that's going to be based on the Escape platform. So this is going to be much more on-road focused, much less aggressive than the big Bronco. And then the one that we're really excited about, that we're talking about on the show, is going to be the off-road model that's going to compete, like you said, with the Wrangler.
The one that you can draw a direct line through the O.J. Simpson Bronco, the Bronco 2, and of course the iconic Bronco 1 that came out in the 60s. That's the one we're excited about. The Sport, that's of course much more of a mild off-roader, if it competes with vehicles like the Renegade, more in terms of, well, appearance and some off-road cred, but certainly not something that I'd be eager to take on, let's say, Hell's Revenge and Moab. And at the end of this podcast, we're going to talk about the little dust-up that we had with Ford, because we released some pictures that we got, leaked pictures, and this is important because they were leaks. This is not something that was given to us by Ford, and then we broke an embargo. But there's a dust-up about that. Ford uninvited us because of it to the F-150 and, of course, the Bronco. So I want to talk about that and kind of set the record straight at the end of this podcast. But that's not the important part. What is important are the top 10 things we think that the new big boy Bronco is going to have to compete with the Wrangler. So let's start with number 10, capability, Tommy. What do you think it's going to have? And some of those pictures actually showed that it will have things very similar to the Wrangler. And I'm talking about things like a disconnectable sway bar.
Well, we should clarify, we don't know this for sure.
Right, this is not for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we think we know because we saw the picture that this mule had right. these buttons.
It could be something that they're playing with and not putting on the final production
yeah,
version.
Yeah, which would be a
bummer. But let's talk about the things that the Wrangler has that I think the Bronco is going to have to bring to the table in terms of capability to compete directly. So I think it's pretty obvious you're going to have a low range.
Okay.
You're going to have at least a locking rear diff, if not also locking front diff.
Okay.
You're going to have what tire size and what tire size upgradable to, would you say?
Well, quite honestly, I'm not sure any of this matters.
Okay.
Because I think you would be astonished at the number of people that will never take their new Wranglers off-road. I genuinely do.
New Broncos and Wranglers.
And Wranglers. Okay. No, both. I think both. And I think because so many people don't take their new Wranglers off-road, there's going to be a lot of people that don't take their new Broncos off-road.
Right.
So I think that as an enthusiast, you definitely want to see the gearing and the sway bar disconnect and the locking diffs and the off-road tires and the body-on-frame construction. But from a consumer standpoint, if you're not an enthusiast, do you really need these things? That's the question I have for you.
Well, I would say, yeah, you do need them because it's what establishes credibility, right? It's all those guys and gals out there taking it into the wild and using it as it's intended to be used and pushing it that makes the guys and gals who will never take it off the road want to buy it, right? Because it's the image of you know, the lifestyle of the Wrangler owner that's going to sell it to the person who's just going to use it as a everyday vehicle. So let's delve deep into that. Let's talk about stuff that it's going to definitely have to have. And these are things we're pretty sure it's going to have already. So we think it's going to have, like the things we mentioned, low range, locking diffs, disconnectable sway bar. But we also think it's going to have things that the Wrangler has, like a removable roof. So it's going to be a convertible.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the most important aspect. Mm. It's going to be the design. Because that's what's going to sell this vehicle. It's going to have to look retro. I think it is going to have to be convertible. It's going to have to appeal to both genders, which is important. I think if they make it too aggressive, it's going to target one gender over another. But if they make it too cutesy, it's also going to target one gender over the other. So there's a very fine line they have to walk for the Bronco to look right. And I think that's going to be the most important thing when it comes to launching this new vehicle. And as an enthusiast, yes, I'm very excited about the tech. But from a sales standpoint, for it to be a success, I think the look they're going to really have to nail.
How about removable doors?
No, I don't think you need those.
Really?
I really don't.
Because the spy images suggest that it will have removable doors, potentially.
I'm thinking the spy images suggest they won't have
really?
Removable doors. Yeah, because the ones we've seen have frameless doors.
Oh.
And like the Wrangler has a very simple basic door design so okay. that you can pull them off. It's a cool selling point. Once again, it's like kind of like the removable, the fold-down windshield.
Yeah, how about
the
fold-down windshield? Do you think it'll have to have that?
How many have you ever seen a Wrangler go down the road with his windshield folded?
That's, yeah, Jalopnik did it.
Yeah, I know. But in the real world, unless it's like a 63 CJ5,
yeah.
you're never going to see a modern Wrangler with the windshield folded. It's a cool thing to have, but I'm not sure it's a realistic selling point for many.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that features that are never used, and I'll give you a classic example of that. The G-Wagon, even the new one, has three lockable diffs, front, middle, and rear, right? And I would wager that 99% of the people who drive that thing down Hollywood Boulevard will never touch those buttons, but they bought it because it has them.
Well, but they didn't buy it because they have them.
Yeah, they did. Because they saw those three cool buttons and they're like, hey.
Kim Kardashian does not know what any of those
yeah.
buttons do. Really, Kim Kardashian,
yeah.
you can tell
yeah.
me right now that Kardashian knows what a center locking diff
yeah,
does.
Yeah, because she's thinking to herself, when the zombie apocalypse comes,
no.
I'm going to push those three buttons and I'm going to drive up the Hollywood Hills and escape with my life. That's what she's thinking.
That is true. So the reason it has them is to give you that street cred. That's important. But she has no idea what those buttons do. I mean, maybe she's watching this.
Yeah.
Kim, let me know in the comment section below if you know what a front, center, and rear locker does.
If you know those three buttons on your G-Wagon.
It's like when we went to the largest Jeep dealer in Colorado,
yeah.
we were talking to the sales manager. And you were like, you know, what spread of Wranglers or Rubicons? And he was like, when the JL first came out, Everyone came rushing in and wanted a Rubicon. And the salespeople talked to them and they said, you need the sway bar disconnect. Do you need the aggressive tires? They said, no, we just want the Rubicon sticker on the side and we want the big tires.
Look, you know, I see what you're saying from a sales point of view, but I think that there is definitely a chart somewhere at Ford HQ that has every one of these things on it, like a tick, right? 33s. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Bumper that you can remove the ends so that you can get better clearance. Approach angle, departure angle. They are definitely targeting the Wrangler and all of its capabilities. And I think if you're a serious off-roader like we are, right, then you are going to look at all those numbers and all those facts when you make the decision to either go Bronco or go Wrangler. Now, there's going to be a lot of people out there, I think, who will go with the Bronco just because it's new and different, right? You just get bored of something. No matter how good or bad it is, at some point you get bored of it. So, you know, let's not forget that. There'll be a certain percentage. But at the end of the day, you know, serious Wrangler owners who take it off-road, and Ford knows this if they want to directly compete, are directly, you know, benchmarking the Bronco, and Ford is directly benchmarking the Wrangler for that reason.
Look, I know I'm playing devil's advocate here. Right. Obviously, I want it to be good off-road, but for it to be a sales success, I'm not so sure it needs to be. For example, like us, we kind of went a little nuts when the Blazer revealed.
Right.
It was not traditional. It was this weird sporty coupe.
Right.
And they've been selling a lot of Blazers. The Blazer is doing quite well in the marketplace right now.
Yeah, but Blazer isn't the Bronco. You know, what we've seen from the – and let's face it. This has been – like I said, this has been out there now for, God, what, 5 years? So a lot of images have come out of it, a lot of information has come out already. This has been probably the longest unveiling slash reveal slash debut of any vehicle that I've ever experienced in the last 10 years. Usually the car...
What does this have to do with the Blazer?
Well, because there's been this flood of information, so we know a lot about it, right? The Blazer just kind of came out, and there it was.
Yeah, but I think in the staple of a lot of people's minds, Blazer and Bronco are the same thing. Hmm. They're direct competitors. And they were direct competitors in the 70s and the 80s, right? So
well, I'll give you one thing.
Yeah.
Blazer has sold, Bronco hasn't, because Blazer's out there.
Right.
So GM is making money. But let's keep going down this list, okay? Number 9 on my list is the power plant. What do you think the power plant is going to be? And we think we know this already.
Yeah. Based on some pictures we've seen, I think it's going to be that 2.3-liter EcoBoost?
That's in the Ranger.
Yeah, it's in a lot of stuff. It's in the Ranger, it's in the Mustang. In the Ranger, it makes, I think, 270 horsepower, 310 pound-feet of torque. I think the most important thing about the power plant is that it's reliable. I think that's got to be the thing on the forefront of the Ford engineers' minds.
If Ford is benchmarking the Wrangler, then they're way behind, because the Wrangler now has three power plants, right? It's got the 3.6 Pentastar. It's got the new Eco Diesel, and of course, it's got the 2-liter turbo. So if you're you know, looking for different capabilities, because like the diesel's really good at doing things like, you know, putting a lot of torque so you can put big tires and wheels on it. If you're looking for fuel economy, the 2.0-liter turbo mild hybrid is good at that. And if you're looking for reliability, I would say the Pentastar. Right now, if Ford comes out with one engine, it certainly is going to put them, at least in terms of benchmarking, behind the game.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I don't actually know how many engines, how many of those EcoDiesels Jeep is going to sell. Hmm. I think that in this class of vehicle, the engine is important, and it is a possible selling point. Like if they're going to like a 5-liter V8, whew, that would be cool, right?
Yeah.
But once again, it's not really a sports car. You don't need a lot of power off-road.
I say this because if you look at truck sales in America, right?
Yeah, but trucks are totally different.
But let me finish. Right, in truck sales, you've got the two Japanese brands which bring up the rear in terms of the number of vehicles they sell. I'm talking about Nissan and Toyota, and they all have one engine choice, right? One. Both have one.
Sure.
And Ford and GM and Ram, which actually lead, offer multiple engines. So I think GM has the most now, followed by Ford, followed by Ram with two. So if you look at that model, then power plant choices are important to buyers, at least in terms of sales.
I don't know about that, though, Dad, because Frontier sells like crazy. in the smaller class.
And Frontier is also bringing up the rear. It's outside, except for the Honda. Yeah, no, dude. Tacoma is number one.
No, for sure. It's not a bestseller, but they sell a heck of a lot.
I mean, Tacoma sells 250,000, and Frontier sells a fraction of that, followed by, you know, the GM twins, the Canyon, the Colorado.
Yes, but
followed
that, I
by
think,
the Ranger.
I mean, part of the reason that the Tundra is lagging behind is not because it has one engine.
I think it is.
No, it's because it's 25,000 years old.
No, I think it's.
I had a dinosaur friend.
And same thing with the Nissan.
The Nissan is just
look, if you're buying a truck and you walk into the dealership and you've got seven choices of power plants that give you seven different fuel economies, that give you seven different capabilities, I think that will lead to more sales.
Is a truck a tool?
Yes.
Well,
no,
if you want a tool, you care about what powers that tool.
Right.
The Wrangler and the Bronco, in my opinion, are more lifestyle vehicles, right? And for a lifestyle vehicle, as long as that engine lasts a heck of a long time and gets you down the road.
You don't know if it's going to last a long time.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. As long as it does.
But we don't know that. We don't know.
Hold on. As long as it does, it's going to be fine.
So,
regardless of whether or not it has 400 horsepower or 200 horsepower.
I mean, I get your argument, but I have a hard time accepting that what you're saying is that having less choice is better. That's exactly what you're saying for sales. And I think that sales have proven that more choice is better. But certainly this is your opinion. I value it, but I disagree with it.
Okay.
All right, let's keep going. Value. What does the current Wrangler start at?
Yeah, this is going to be the most important thing. I think you're 1,000% on this topic. It starts at about $28,000 for the two-door. Mm-hmm. And outside of design, I think this is going to be the crucial – the number one purchasing decision for most. It has to be within the range of the Wrangler. So it looks like, based on the spy shots we've seen, there's going to be two configurations of Bronco, the two-door and the four-door. So I expect the two-door to probably come in around 29 or 30 for the entry-level vehicle. And then the four-door should start probably about 32 because the Wrangler starts 31. So I want them to really target the Jeep on the price.
Yeah, and this is a hard one. I'm sure they will benchmark it and target it. It's also hard because what will happen is you'll have a lot of discounting, right? When there's competition, like you see in the truck world, there's a lot of discounting. And the one thing that Jeep will have to its advantage is that a lot of the tooling for the new JL won't be paid off, but they'll certainly have the ability to drop the price. And I think you'll see that. I think that'll be good for all of us. So the Bronco will come in. There'll be a lot of excitement. And what we've seen in the past from FCA is the easiest way, and certainly one of the smartest ways to do that is just to discount the Wrangler, making it so even if Ford undercuts them originally in price, and we've seen this, the manufacturers go head to head when it comes to price. So let's say that they're very similar. I don't think it would be difficult for Jeep to drop the price, and I don't think then that the Bronco will at least in the first year drop the price, because I think there'll be a lot of excitement about it, but eventually it'll also bring the price down, and that's good for everybody out there. So whether you're a Bronco fan or a Wrangler fan, I think this is just good for us because it means less expensive off-roaders. I think initially when the Bronco comes out, some dealers are going to mark it up, though. That's the part I hate. I mean, we're seeing that with the Defender right now.
Yeah, but we saw that with the Wrangler, too. There were markups.
Yeah, especially on the Gladiator.
That's just part of it. I mean, I think any new anticipated launch, we saw markups on the Supra.
Yeah.
It's just going to be something you have to deal with and wait a few months, and eventually it'll be enough in dealers.
Yeah, and there might be a launch edition, which will get certainly expensive. All right, let's talk about towing. How about towing? Is towing important?
Yes, I think it's more important than you think.
Yeah.
Because I do see a lot of Jeeps with trailers that are far too heavy behind them.
And Jeep the Wrangler does not tow well. I think the highest towing is, 3,500 pounds on the four-door?
On the four-door with the tow group, exactly.
Yeah. And that is,
Yeah, it's definitely a room.
Pretty low.
It's definitely a room Ford can go in and stir some feathers.
Yeah.
Because 3,500 is low. And, of course, Jeep will tell you, if you want the same open-top experience, but you want to tow, go buy the Gladiator, which will tow 7,650 now in its max tow configuration.
Yeah.
So, I think it would be cool if the Bronco will tow at least 5. I think that'll open up the vehicle to more of the truck enthusiast world, someone who's looking at a bigger SUV or pickup truck because they have a boat or a little camper. So I think that is a possible place where they could definitely take some sales away.
And then the question is, what will Jeep do? Will they do magic towing dust, or will they actually go and reconfigure it? Because, towing isn't about – it used to be about marketing, right? So in the past when we started doing this, let's say Ram would come out with a truck that towed 9,000, and the next day Ford would put out a press release saying that our F-150 tows 9,500 without any changes to it. But now, because of the Society of Automotive Engineers, that number is fixed to actually real testing. And so you can't just up the towing number without upping the capability. And there's a lot to it, right? There's braking. There's cooling for the engine. It's not just like how heavy the vehicle is, how heavy the chassis is.
I think part of that, though, could be marketing. I mean, there could be a – I'm not saying please don't go off of this, but there could be a potential that the Wrangler is underrated on purpose to make you buy a Gladiator, you know?
You think – yeah, I see what you're saying. So Jeep is underrated. But, you know, I see that argument, but we towed quite a bit with the Wrangler, especially on our Motor Mountain USA.
But it was a JK. That was a whole different animal.
Yeah, and that thing did not tow well.
Yeah, that was a JK. That did struggle. But I think the JL, when the Bronco comes out, there could be a potential where they up the number. But there's no such thing as magic towing this anymore because they have to meet these agreed-upon standards of SAE.
Have we towed with the JL? Did we ever tow with it? I don't think we have towed with it yet.
Yeah, we did.
We did? What did we do?
Andre and I towed a horse trailer with it, compared it against the Gladiator.
How did it do?
Good.
Yeah?
It did good. It was a little unstably.
Yeah.
But it had...
Official automotive journalist. Unstably.
Yeah, it had a little bit too much lateral movement for my liking, but it had tons of power because it was a diesel. So it destroyed the Gladiator 0-60. So certainly power and torque in the diesel is no issue.
So there's an opening for Ford, certainly. The other place I think that Ford has an opening is in safety. And there's two bits to that, right? Right now, we were just going over our Gladiator that we purchased long-term, and we were trying to figure out whether it had 2, 4, or 6 airbags. And I think the conclusion we came to is that the Wrangler or Gladiator is available with 4 airbags. Is that 4? Yeah, 4 at most, which is... pretty low, you know, I mean, considering that, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's a convertible and that you can, you know, fold the windshield and take the doors off. But nevertheless, we just bought a smart car that I think had how many? 7 airbags?
Eight
airbags,
eight,
right? So in our Gladiator, you're looking at the 2 front one and then the 2 side ones. And now the standard, of course, is not just front and side, but side air curtains, rear airbags, rear air curtains, knee airbags.
Yeah, I agree. This is definitely a really important factor.
And
they could for sure subtract from Jeep sales on this one because I think when the Wrangler came out with the Unlimited in 2007, they opened the Wrangler up to families, right, who before couldn't deal with the two-door Wrangler. But they never quite fully address the safety aspect. So they address the storage capacity, they address the rear seat room, they addressed overall usability for more than 2 people, but they did not address the safety, and this, I think, does put a lot of people off.
Yeah, there's a wow factor there when you figure out that you only have 4 airbags because it's kind of become acceptable to have more than that. And the other part of safety, and this has become more critical as the Institute for Highway Safety, right, has done more safety testing, International IIHS, International Institute for Highway Safety, and that is headlights.
No, Insurance Institute for Highway Safety.
Yes. Yeah. And that is headlights because they've, in order to get their highest rating, right, you have to have good headlights. And with our Gladiator, not the LEDs, but the base headlights, they're not grand.
Well, I think Ford will do one of 2 things.
Yeah.
They'll either have a base headlight, which is incandescent, just like the Jeep, and then Jeep's response will be do nothing because they compete. Or a Gladiator will come standard with LEDs.
You mean Bronco?
Oh, sorry, yeah. And then Bronco will come standard with LEDs, and then I think Jeep will make the LED standard on the Wrangler as well. Quite honestly, knowing Ford and their headlights, I don't think that they're going to make standard LEDs. Because, you know, we've seen it, like, for example, on our F-250. Even though I imagine from a manufacturing standpoint it's probably not significantly more expensive to produce a vehicle, you know, standard with LEDs, they don't. So, like, our F-250 has incandescents, and they're not good.
Yeah, and let me be very clear about this because I think we're missing an important point here. In the IIHS testing, it's not just about incandescent or LEDs, right? Because most of the cars they test don't have incandescents. They do have LEDs. It's about the quality of the LEDs and the kind of light that they shed and the direction of the light that they shed, right? So just because you have LEDs isn't the magic bullet. There are a lot of vehicles with LEDs that still offer horrible lighting, right? It's about how much glare you get, how you glare other drivers. There's a lot that goes into it, and it's something that the manufacturers are just starting to get their hands and head around, I think.
Well, I think it's I was actually at the facility where FCA tests their headlights. It's pretty cool. It's this giant baseball field long hangar.
Yep.
It's completely dark, and they've manufactured a road in there. So it's a highway.
Okay.
It's this massive hangar with a highway through the middle of it with a median, and then they have some plants on the side. They've got street signs, and they can measure precisely the length at which the headlight projects, the area at which it projects. Really cool stuff. Now, I'm actually on the IIHS website looking at the 2020 Wrangler.
Yeah.
It performed pretty decently overall.
Yeah.
So moderate overlap front impact was good. Side was good. Roof strength was good. Head restraints and seats was good. The child seat anchors, ease of use, that was good plus.
Yeah.
But there are a couple areas where it didn't do so well. So, for example, small overlap front driver side.
It flipped on its side?
Yeah, marginal.
Yeah.
And then headlights.
That was the first car to flip on its side, unfortunately.
Headlights are poor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I think that's certainly an opening for Ford. And if you're curious about what happened in that testing, what was the overall rating that they gave it? You want to look at it? It certainly wasn't a safety pick plus, unfortunately.
Rating applies to 18 through 20.
Yeah.
Overall evaluation, marginal.
Mm, there you go. And the European, I think, even gave it a worse safety rating in their European testing because it is sold in Europe. So, it's certainly an opening for Ford to come in and outperform the Wrangler. We shall see. Let's keep going down this list, Tommy. The next one, I think, is the one that people care about and the one that we know a lot about, and that is styling and appearance. I mean, pictures of the spy pictures of the Bronco have now leaked out all over the place. We've seen it both on the road clad and in the factory unclad. What do you think of the styling? I think they actually nailed it.
I think
the round
really
headlights,
cool.
The big Bronco in the grill, it's good. It's kind of friendly and, like you said, it kind of gender neutral.
Yeah, I think it looks really good. If the actual reveal looks like some of the leaked photos we've seen, they really nailed it. It's a great mix of vintage 60s nostalgia but modern 2021 design and influence with aerodynamics. If it does look like I've seen it look in some of the leaked images, it's going to be brilliant. So I'm really excited for the design.
Yeah, what do you think those tires are on there? You think those are like 33s out of the factory? Or is it?
No.
No? You think they're smaller?
No, bigger.
Bigger?
Yeah, bigger.
35s?
Yep, bigger. I think they're going to be 35s. Now, the theory is there's going to be a few different Bronco variations.
Yep.
So there's going to be more of the entry-level vehicle, which we've seen cruising around on street tires.
I don't think that'll have 35s.
No, but then it looks like there's going to be a high-performance off-road one, maybe called the Bronco Raptor. Mm. And that appears to be the one that's rolling on 35 Cooper Discover tires. Discover.
So that would be the one that would line up against the Rubicon.
Exactly, yep. So I think trim-wise, we're going to see a lot of overlap between Sport, Sahara, Rubicon.
Yeah, and let's talk about the trim levels. So basically, there are three levels for a Wrangler. Sport is your entry level. It still has all the off-road goodies, the cladding, the underbody protection, but it doesn't have things like, you know, lockers in the front.
It doesn't have
distensible sway bars.
There's a bunch of stuff. It has a different transfer case. It has a worse axle ratio. It has a weaker front axle.
And you can get it with a soft top only, which makes it less expensive.
You can get it with the hard top too, though.
Yeah, I'm saying, but the base one comes with a soft top.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the entry level. You know, like, once again, three levels. Then you've got the Sahara, which is kind of the city slicker Wrangler, right? That's the one with the city tires. And it's got a lot of the safety equipment. And we haven't talked about that yet either. You can get more safety equipment on Wranglers, but once again, it's not the same that you can get on. Well, actually, let's talk about that. So there's been kind of this arms race in terms of safety tech with the Japanese and Korean automakers, right? So, for instance, Toyota in their latest vehicles has introduced Toyota, I think it's Safety Sense
2.0,
which gives you a full suite of lane departure warning, emergency braking, right, where the vehicle will stop in case there's a sudden stop in front of you, a lot of autonomy features, and that full suite is now across all of Toyota's, Honda's, and in a lot of ways Hyundai's and Kia's line as well. And yet, you know, if you want that same kind of technology in a Wrangler, you're going to have to specify it. It's part of a package. And I don't think some of those things like autonomous braking is available in the Wrangler. I'm not sure about that, 100% sure. I know you've got, there's like the lane warning, departure warning is there. I'm not sure the Wrangler comes with variable cruise control, right?
Yeah, it does.
Does it?
Yeah.
So it's a package. It's not standard.
Unlike a Sahara, there's a safety group, which is blind spot monitoring, cross path detection, park assist system, LED tail lamps. And then on the advanced safety group, there's brake assist.
Right.
So advanced brake assist, full speed forward collision warning plus adaptive cruise control, automatic high beams, and enhanced adaptive cruise control.
So you can get it on a Wrangler. Thank you for looking that up. But unlike Toyota, it doesn't come standard on every, you know, Toyota's making standard on every vehicle they sell now.
Yep.
And so is Honda and, you know, so are the other manufacturers. And I think Ford could take advantage of that and actually put it on there. And I hope they do because, you know, safety at the end of the day is paramount, right? You're putting the most important thing in your life into that car, which is your family. Then you want it to be as safe as possible.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
So you do have to pay extra for it. I'm just verifying that. Yep.
Yeah, you do, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
All right, should we keep going?
Yeah, let's keep going down the list. Now, I'm skipping around on our list a little bit because I'm trying to kind of do the most important things first. But this is an important one: technology. And there's two bits to it here. Let's start with things that people think of as in terms of technology. Things like over-the-air updates, infotainment. You know, Ford has Sync, of course. How important is it to have the big screen and to have the latest version of Sync?
I think people like that now.
Yeah.
I think for 2020, people are definitely looking at the latest tech. So Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, I think is a minimum. Comfort and convenience, like heated seats, keyless entry.
How about cameras?
Heated steering wheels. Cameras, I think Ford really is pushing cameras. So yeah. I think we're going to have some interesting camera systems available. On the Wrangler, you can't get the front-facing camera, I don't believe.
No, you can now, but it's an option. So it started out, it came as an option on the Gladiator, and now I think you can get it on the...
I'm not sure you can get it on the Wrangler. Anyways, on some of the Jeep products, there's a little trail cam.
But it certainly, you know, they're behind the ball there, because like on the Range Rover, and I tested this, 2 years ago, I'm talking about the Evoque now, you can get a camera that basically makes the front of the vehicle disappear. So you can actually see through the hood of the car. It's way cool. And you might be wondering, why do I want to see through the hood? Well, imagine like being able to see the rock or cliff that you're about to go over, you know, before your front wheels hit it. That's pretty darn cool.
There's going to be a lot of tech like that in the Bronco. I think they're going to come hard with some of the like innovations in off-road tech. For sure, another piece of tech they teased in one of their videos was a turn assist function, which they have on the Land Cruiser. And basically what this is in an off-road situation when there's low traction. At like full lock, they can actually manually brake the inside rear wheel, which kind of drags the vehicle around a tighter turn. This is really great when you're on like a switchback on a trail.
Yeah, Toyota has it.
Yeah, the Land Cruiser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we're going to see that in the Bronco. I definitely think we're going to see some interesting stuff with cameras, maybe that invisible hood, if they can find a way to integrate that. And for sure, a lot of cool tech. So we'll have to wait and see. But definitely a lot of phone integration is what I expect as well.
So the other bit of tech, and I dare to call this tech, but it is tech, is independent suspension versus a solid axle.
In the front.
In the front, yes. So
yeah.
How important, we think from the spy shots, and we're pretty certain about this, about as certain as we can get before it's actually officially unveiled, that it will not have a solid axle like the Wrangler does.
Yep, and...
it'll be more like a Toyota 4Runner.
Yeah, and this is a thing that if they end up going this direction, which we think they will, that all the Wrangler people are going to go ballistic about, and they're going to say, why would I buy a Bronco? It has an independent front suspension, and then there's going to be turf wars in Detroit going on between solid axle people and independent front suspension people. And at the end of the day, I really don't think it's going to matter because the new independent front suspensions are so good. And if you have traction aids like lockers, you can go incredibly far places with IFS.
So the hardcore guys will tell you that the solid axle for rock crawling is better because it guarantees that at least one of the wheels is always touching, right?
Well, yeah, the idea with it is
it's like a teeter-totter.
Yeah, if one wheel is pushed into the air, the other one is, in theory, forced onto the
ground.
Onto the rock or whatever.
Yeah, which gives you more traction.
Yep. But the...
Whereas with independent front suspension, you can run out of travel.
Pretty quick.
But we found... found that that isn't a big deal.
No, because like the ZR2 and the ZR2 Bison have independent front suspension, right. And those are still one of the most capable trucks on the road. Yeah,
And then on road,
it's much better,
and, yeah. And in a lot of ways off road, it's also much better because with solid axles, you get that weird kind of left to right bob where your head gets slammed against the sports bar on the Wrangler.
Yeah, you definitely have some.
If you hit the right connection.
The interesting thing is in the kind of the leaks we've seen, there looks to be a button, and we've heard from sources that the front end is going to have a sway bar disconnect, which is something you really don't see on independent suspension vehicles. It's very, very rare. So I don't actually know of a single factory application that does that, because the solid axle design with the sway bar lends itself to providing a lot of articulation with a disconnect. And independent, I'm not super sure how that's going to work in the real world, so we're going to have to stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Like on the Touareg, some people do. They pull the sway bars on them, right. And it allows the wheels to move further and not be as impacted by the other one. But
this is certainly one of those either inside baseball or tempest in a teapot arguments, right, for people who are way into off-roading, but it will be a differentiating fact between the two if you're looking for something that you really want to sink your teeth into and you love.
The other thing we've seen, once again, I don't think it's going to make a big difference.
It's also easier to lift, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good point.
That's a big deal.
Solid axles are way easier.
Solid axles. So, and this is what we should, before we get to our last point here, and there's actually a bonus as well, but before we get to our last point, we should talk about that, and that is, what makes the Wrangler so popular is the same thing that makes the Harley so popular, right? It's the ultimate customizable vehicle. I can't think of any other vehicle that you can make your own as easily or as cheaply as a Wrangler. And lifting it is the number one thing people do, right? I think that's the first thing you're going to do. You're going to lift it. And lifting independent front suspension is not easy. It's doable. It's just a lot more expensive. And that's because you have it's a much more sophisticated type of suspension. So with a solid axle, all you do is basically put a spacer between the body frame or the ladder frame and the axle, right, to raise it. That's in essence. You have to get better shocks, but in essence, that's what you do. Whereas with front suspension, it's much more tricky. I'm simplifying it.
The challenge with independent front suspension is keeping the geometry.
Right. Yeah.
Right. With a solid axle, it's always going to be solid regardless of what the body's doing on top of it. Manual transmission was an interesting leak too. So it was rumored that the Bronco is going to have a 7-speed manual, and we've seen now a picture. Of the shifter, and it has your normal H pattern 1 through 6, and then it also has another
a C,
which we think stands for crawler, but it's basically a granny low is what we believe it to be, so that you've got a super low first gear. Really cool. The off-road guys are going to love that. But if you don't know what that is, you're probably not going to make your buying decision based off that.
Yeah. All right, let's get to our number one thing on this list before we get to our bonuses, okay? Mm-hmm. And that is electrification, right? So we have seen there is already an electrified Wrangler you can buy, and that's a mild hybrid, basically a 48-volt system. But we also have seen a real hybrid, not a 48. So the difference between a real hybrid and the difference between a mild hybrid, which is basically a 48-volt system that does things like allow you to do start-stop, right?
Right, yeah. So it gives you
in a better way.
Yeah, and the FCA systems, what are they called? I'm totally blanking on it. A Rebel had it. It has that funny name.
E-torque,
that's what it's called. Thank you.
You're welcome.
When you off the line, it's supposed to give you like a little boost to help kind of get you off the line. But it really is impossible.
You can't like drive on it.
No, it's impossible to operate the vehicle on electricity. And then you've got your standard hybrid like a Prius. And then what we have is the plug-in hybrids, which is what's coming to the Wrangler. So this is a large high-voltage battery that will run the vehicle for an extended period of time on electricity only, typically like 10 to 40 miles before the gas engine kicks on, and then it runs like a normal hybrid.
Yeah, and we've seen this vehicle. It was unveiled, kind of a soft launch at CES this year, and they had it at CES, and you could see that there was a battery that you could plug into. They haven't given any specifications on it yet, so we don't know, you know, how far you can go on electrification only. But with off-road trucks coming that are all electric, and I'm talking about, of course, you know the names, right? Rivian, Cybertruck, There's a whole plethora. I think that electrification is going to be the next big thing in off-roaders, and it's a race at this point. Let's make no mistake. This is a race, and whoever gets there first is gonna do really well. And you might be wondering, why do I need electrification? And the answer is because it allows you to do a lot of really cool things that you can't do with gas. So, for instance, let's start with the basics. Electric motors are super torquey, and crawling is all about torque. So you can get rid of your low-speed transfer case, right? You can get rid of that because you won't need it if you have a pure electric motor. Or if you do need it, you can set up a situation. You give me this like, oh, yes, you will. And I'm like, maybe you won't. You don't know.
Well, I mean, in theory, you don't, but you'll just use so much power running that little motor.
But if it's a hybrid, it doesn't matter because you'll always have a regular
I love your engine. I love your enthusiasm, Dad, and I'm a big fan of EVs, but I really don't think it's important for 2020 in this class.
I think it is. I think Tesla...
Where do you plug in? These are about
I know, but
adventuring.
I get it, but Tesla, which has become more valuable than Ford, believe it or not, seriously,
no, I know.
With three factories, or two and a half, has shown that there is a huge demand and value in electrified vehicles. And whether you guys disagree or – it doesn't matter whether you think so or not. The fact is it's coming. Sometimes, you know –
Oh, it's for sure coming. I'm a huge proponent for it.
Yeah.
I think in a passenger car – I would 100,000% recommend you go buy an EV.
Yeah.
But in this class,
I'm
you
just
know,
saying,
an
off-roader? You could do a lot of cool stuff things. You could do things like the Rivian is going to do a tank turn.
That's great. But what if you're on the White Rim Trail?
I'd love to do a tank turn.
What if you ran out of power
on
the White Rim Trail?
I'm talking about a hybrid now. I'm saying
that's different, though.
But
plug-in hybrids for sure are going to be really cool. But a full electric vehicle in this class is not.
Can you do a tank turn? A tank turn is just being able to take a vehicle and just turn in one spot, just go boom. You have to go back and forth.
You've been driving cars for 40 years now. Have you ever needed to do a tank turn?
Yes, yes.
No, you have
coming down Black Bear Pass.
Oh, yeah, like you do a tank turn on the edge of a cliff.
After that first turn where, you know, we watched the Raptor do like an 80-point turn.
Dad, you were going to tank.
Imagine half a tank turn where you could. So what happens is you get to this like really steep part of Black Bear Pass outside of Telluride, which is a classic Colorado trail. You come down, you make a left, and there are these classic, like, you know, snake-like serpentines where you have to go down the mountains. And the very first one has a big rock on the turn. And so
the very edge of a cliff, we should say.
So you got to be able to go around it. And there was a guy in a Raptor who literally had to do like 80, you know, back and forth.
I agree. It's not ideal.
Imagine just go there and go whoop like that and then go down.
You were going to go whoop on the edge of a 3,000-foot cliff. You're going to be okay trusting your car to not go foot further.
I would trust it. It's much safer than actually having to go exactly forward.
I completely disagree. I do not trust a computer on the edge of a 2,000-foot cliff.
All right.
Look,
anyway.
Electrification is important. I agree. But full electrification in this class, full BEV, is not going to happen for a few more years, for sure.
We know that the Escape, right, is going to be a plug-in hybrid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the Bronco Sport will probably at some point
have a plug-in. And I'm sure, I'm willing to bet, you know, since this car is being designed for this year, that the Bronco's going to have a full BEV coming eventually, at least a plug-in hybrid.
But I think Wrangler's there first.
Yeah, I think they will be there first.
Yeah, because they've already got a vehicle, they've already shown it.
And trust me, I'm really excited for the plug-in hybrids, but full electric I would not want in this class.
I'm just saying this is a list of things that the Bronco has to have to be able to compete with the Wrangler. All right, now let's talk about what I call the wow factor. So something that is different that gets you to buy it, right? So I'll give you an example of the wow factor. We just did the same show with Andre 2 days ago, and in that time, a leak has come out, or Ford engineered a leak, who knows at this point, that the vehicle will have what they're calling sleeping seat. In essence, you'll be able to like sleep in your F-150 because you'll be able to put the seat all the way down and make it like a bed.
It's like a Honda Fit.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. So that's what they're, you know, and that's what I'm talking about, the wow factor. Something that the competition doesn't have that makes people say, damn, that's smart. I want it. So what do you think that will be for the Bronco? Is there something like that, like self-driving or?
I don't know.
This is what we're speculating.
I can't even speculate on this. How am I supposed to speculate on a wow factor feature? It'll make your toast in the morning. It'll have a slot for a toaster.
No, you've been off-roading enough. What would you love in the Wrangler that doesn't have that you'd be like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if the Wrangler did this?
There's nothing I can think of that I wish a Wrangler had for off-roading.
Really?
I mean, what can you think of? It's easy to modify.
Like Tesla came out with actually jets on their Roadster.
Yeah, I've never needed jets off-road. I can promise you on Hell's Revenge, there's not one section where I've needed jets.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what we would use. And this is a wow factor for me. And you know this because we just ran the White Rim Trail. So on the White Rim Trail, we had our Gladiator. And we're partnered with a company called Onyx, which provides basically maps for your phone that even if you're offline, in other words, you don't have cell service, if you download them to your phone, it'll show you all the trails, right? And we were using it, and the Jeep's navigation system showed the White Rim Trail, which is a road, right? You have to have a license plate. It's a dirt road, but it's a road. And then all the other trails were not there. I would love a navigation system that actually is as good as Onyx, where it shows you every single trail. So that's a wow factor, and that's something that would distinguish it from the Wrangler.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You could bring a paper map.
Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm kind of old school. I don't need the tank turns or 14 turbos or crazy stuff like that to have fun on the trail.
All right. Let's talk about one other thing before I talk about the dust up that we had with Ford. Maybe it's more than a dust up. I don't know. I think it's a dust up. But what do you think of the Raptor version? So we kind of mentioned it earlier. You think there'll be a Bronco Raptor, and what will that be?
Yeah, that could be a cool target or audience that the Wrangler hasn't really captured, which is like the high-speed desert runner. So Wrangler is such a thoroughbred rock crawler, but it would be cool if there was like a Bronco that was targeted more at like tackling the dunes and the Baja-like terrain. So long distances of fast suspension movement and versus slow bouldering.
Yep. All right. So let's talk about this dust up and then we'll call it done. As you know, last week, or maybe you don't know, we got some leaked images of the Bronco, and those were images that Ford did not provide us. They're real leaks, and they were not images that were illegally gotten in any way. They were illegal images. And what I mean by that is somebody took a picture of like a Bronco, an employee with in the factory.
Clarify that. They were legal images.
They're legal. Yeah. Completely legal. They're just leaks. Right. And they didn't break any Ford laws, official leaks. And what I mean by illegal pictures is when the Cherokee first came out, remember this, somebody took a picture of it in the factory, which I'm sure Jeep doesn't allow. And then it got out onto the internets, and people just lost their you-know-what because it had the headlights that were, now kind of infamously below the kind of squinty lights, and people hated that and looked like an alien Jeep. That would be something that was illegally taken. These were, as far as we can tell, legal pictures. We're very clear about that. And as journalists, our job is to provide you with that information. So we put together a video, maybe you saw it, and we showed those pictures. And 2 hours later, 3 hours later, we get a phone call from Ford saying, you are now uninvited from the Bronco debut. You're also uninvited from the F-150 review. And then subsequently, we found out that they also cut access to the Ford press fleet from us. They actually shipped us a van, four-wheel drive, a van that we were going to review that they then took back, which seemed silly. And they also we also had a truck lined up for a vendor that works with Ford that uses Sync that we were going to demonstrate and show how the new technology works. They also cut that off. And then on a lot of the forums, people somehow decided that we had broken an embargo. Now, the way that it works with embargoes is, and you know this, right? The manufacturer comes to us and says, hey, we're going to unveil this vehicle. In order for you to write the story or do the video, we're going to give you images of it ahead of time, but you cannot publish them, show them before a certain time and a certain date, right?
Yeah, but those are images supplied by the manufacturer.
Right, yeah, right. They're supplied by and so somehow it got out there that we broke an embargo. We have never in our 10 years broken an embargo. Basically, it's like if I make a promise to you, Tommy, that I won't do something, we don't do it. We're very strict about that. And in fact, in one instance, when other pictures that were given to another outlet leaked, we actually let the outlet and the manufacturer know so that they could fix and figure it out. Not leaked.
Yeah.
They weren't leaked. They were embargoed images that somebody illegally
posted.
Posted, yeah, somehow. Yeah. And so we're very strict. I kind of felt like if Ford had actually uninvited us from the Bronco reveal, then I can understand that because they work very hard to have an unveiling, and then if you come along and you kind of partially spoil the party, you could see how that would make the manufacturer angry. And in fact, we read on one of the bulletin boards that they had a meeting at the company and that Ford had said that we had broken a trust issue, right? What did they say?
Well, they also said that they had asked us to take the photos down and the video down, and that we refused to, and they felt we had breached their trust.
Yeah.
But in the conversations we had with Ford, at no point was the conversation they had never asked us to remove.
There was no major conversation. It was like Ford called us and said, we're uninviting you.
Yeah, there was no, will you take these pictures down? Will you remove the video? It was just, we're uninviting you, and that was the end of the conversation.
And the phone, that was the end of it. It was really not like, you know, here's our side of the story. This is what we need. And it's a shame because in the past, Ford to us is a very important company. And the partnership is very important because obviously Ford is one of the leading companies in terms of off-roading with the Raptor, in terms of trucks with the F-150. And never, would we want to jeopardize that relationship in a way that is not fixable. And what we did was we posted images because that's what journalists do, right? This is our job. Our main responsibility at this point is to you, not to Ford, and we're not Ford PR. But in the past, when Ford has come to us and said, hey, we're not happy about this, would you take it down? We have done that. We've done that with other manufacturers as well because those relationships are very important to us, both on a personal level with me and on a financial level with the company. But yet that was never an option. It was like, you're cut off. Goodbye. So that's where we're at right now. And that's the story.
Yep. I have nothing else to add.
All right. Well, anyway, guys, we're still going to do our best to cover Ford in terms of the Bronco. If new news breaks, you can be sure that we will be on it like stink on Lindbergh. Is that a stinky cheese? Munster. What's a stinky?
I don't eat cheese.
I don't
know
what that is. I'm lactating, Tom.
No, I'm sorry.
What's a stinky cheese?
I don't eat cheese either.
You'd eat some cheese.
I don't eat cheese.
Anyway, I like stink on cheese. Come back to TFL Car, TFL Truck, TFL Off-Road for more news, views, and what else?
Real World Views. Thank you for watching and listening to the TFL Talkin' Cars podcast.
See you guys next time. Ciao.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.